Hello and welcome to another episode of the Music Rabbit Hole. I'm your humble host and music bus driver. On today's musical journey, special episode here. This is one of my monthly recap episodes, so it's definitely going to be a little longer than the regular 8-10 minute episodes where we dive down the rabbit hole. This instead will be, a recap of all the January albums that I've listened to and rated, with the idea that, hey, if you might have missed some of these, or if I can pique your interest in these, maybe you'll go listen on your own. And there's quite a mix of types of music that we're going to be talking about today. So a lot to get to on this episode. 20 albums to provide some feedback and ratings and thoughts on. And for those who follow the YouTube channel, I release these 1-minute album reviews throughout the week on the shorts side of things on YouTube. And so this type of video gives me a chance to expand upon my 1-minute thoughts. So if you like those videos, but you did want to learn a little bit more about what I think about things, then this type of video is for you. So a lot to get to. If you're listening to the show, by the way, it is available in YouTube form. And if you're watching the show and you want to listen, it's available in podcast form. All right, so the way it's going to work here is I'm going to go from my lowest rated albums to my highest rated albums. And we will start today's episode with the artist Big Pig and her Bubblegum mixtape. This is Jessica Smythe, who is an Irish singer and rapper. She's based in West London, born in Ireland. She's traveled around a lot, and she's released quite a few EPs. I think 4 EPs, bunch of singles. This is her first, full length. It's a mixtape. It's 7 tracks. It came out on the 20th. It's in the alt pop type realm, and this album is pretty good. It's one of those things where she has a very specific style, kind of a whisper vocals at times. The mixtape as a whole has some highlights. Kerosene and Ghosting were two of my favorite tracks off the tape. Overall, this is a really good effort. Again, she hasn't put out any full-length albums, really. It's been a lot of mixtapes. She's only been putting out music since, I think, 2017. So a lot to go here. A lot of room to go up for Big Pig. This album, the critics gave this one an 8. I went 6-4. This was my least favorite of the group that I reviewed. It isn't necessarily bad, but it just wasn't particularly for me. So I gave a 6-4 to Big Pig, Bubblegum. Listen to it on your own if you'd like. I will put the links, the Spotify links to the albums in the description of this video, so you can go check out these on your own. And if you want to tell me your rating and things like that, you can go on Instagram, the_musicrabbithole, and share your thoughts. Next up on our list here, we're hitting up Coda the Friend. This is the Brooklyn native Coda, who has put out a ton of music over the years, all independently, 30 years old. I think he's got, 9 full-length albums, some EPs and things like that along the way. This was it's called the Lyrics to Go series, where he puts out these short 15-minute tapes where it's just kind of like 2-minute long songs or a minute and a half songs, and it's kind of not full. It's definitely not full songs and not longer song. It's more of, it seems like, just little snippets where he can really just spit. I mean, basically just like, but in shorter form. So this type of record is very easy to digest. Again, it's like 15 minutes long. There's a lot to like. I mean, there's a lot of nice points along the way, but it just doesn't necessarily, especially when we're comparing it to these other albums that came out this month, you can't really compare a 10-track, 15-minute-long record to some of these longer epic albums. And so that's why I did, the critics gave this, the critics actually did not rate this. I gave it a 6-5. I enjoyed it. It does feel like I said this in my one-minute review, that it feels kind of like an athlete who is just putting in reps in the off season or in practice or something like that, where it's like, hey, let me just spit for 2 minutes, move on to the next track, get some of my thoughts and feelings out there. It doesn't necessarily dive into super interesting territories or anything like that, but it's fun. It's enjoyable. Wales and Tibet were my two favorite tracks on this one. And if you like Code of the Friend, there's plenty of other full-length albums for you to go listen to and enjoy. So for the rap fans out there, Code of the Friend, Lyrics to Go, Volume 4, 6-5 from me. Next up, we're hitting up Lapsley and her record, Cautionary Tales of Youth. This is an English singer-songwriter, musician, producer. She had her debut album back in 2016 called Long Way Home, and then she put out an album right in the midst of the pandemic there, March 20th, 2020, which was like the heat of everything. That was called Through Water. Her first record, her debut record, did chart in the U.S. It hit 196, and in the U.K. hit 32. That second record did not really chart, but we were all thought the world was ending. So I cut her some slack there. So Cautionary Tales of Youth is the album. She is in that soul, art pop, electronic pop type realm. It's a enjoyable record for sure. There's some songs like Smoke and Fire is a great one to check out. Hotel Corridors. I'll probably put all of these tracks actually in a playlist. I'm thinking this as I'm doing this, but I feel like I'll put all of the songs that I liked from these artists into a playlist. And I'll put that link in the description as well. I actually do track this throughout the year. I put them in a favorite songs of 2023. So all these songs should be in there. But so go listen to Smoke and Fire and Hotel Corridors off this record. Where Lapsley doesn't necessarily hit that next gear is her vocal presence and power isn't quite there, and that's okay if that's not really her style. But when we're talking about some terrific female vocalists that she's going up against in the pop realm, that is where I found this record lacking a little bit. And Smoke and Fire is a great track. There's some awesome production on this. So if you like electronic pop, pop music in general, you'll enjoy this album. The critics liked it a lot. They gave it an 8. I went 6-6. Still, if you're in the 6s realm on my scale, that means that, hey, I did not hate it at all. I would listen to it again, but it's just not going to be one of my favorites. And so 6-6 for Lapsley, Cautionary Tales of Youth, but a solid effort there. Next on my list, a little controversial, if you will. I mean, I know, so I do these shorts, as I mentioned, and I don't take too much stock in the upvotes and downvotes on YouTube videos, because there's some people that just like the power of downvoting a video, so they'll just do it. And so for Sam Smith, I got kind of more downvotes than I usually do for my review, because I did not love this album. So Sam Smith, Gloria, this album came out on the 27th. It's 13 tracks. It's in, you know, the pop soul type realm. This is the fourth studio album from them. And you know, Sam Smith, everyone's familiar with Sam Smith at this point. They have really established themselves as a tremendous vocalist over the years. You know some of their just absolute bangers over time here, and a lot to love about them as a person, obviously, and their messaging and kind of their self-expression. There's a lot to love there. My issue with this record, and I said this in my one-minute review, is I just expected more. When it comes to somebody who has the vocal ability of a Sam Smith, when I went to listen to this record, I expected to just be blown away by some of the tracks on here. And I really wasn't. It's 13 tracks. As I said, it's really the only album or the only songs I kind of was drawn to. There's How to Cry is a great track. There's obviously, everybody knows that Unholy song that's super viral, super present in media right now. And I just felt like I want the career defining album from Sam Smith, and I don't feel like we've gotten it yet. I don't feel like we've gotten that legacy album where you look back at their career and you go, that's the one, that's the album that defines, that was their best of their career and kind of defines them. In The Lonely Hour, The Thrill of It All, Love Goes, and now Gloria, all solid albums, some great songs, but still just not that career-defining record. And on this one, also, the production was a little boring. It wasn't anything super exciting. There wasn't a lot of complex production in general. And so this one just lacking for me a bit. Critics seem to agree. I mean, critics gave this a 6.5. I actually was above them a bit. I went 6.8. So still on the high 6 scale there. And there's a couple of nice tracks in here, but it just did not blow me away. I was really hoping for more. Next up on our list, we're hitting up Odyssey and the album To What End that came out on January 20th. It is a 16-track hip-hop record. Odyssey is actually a rapper from my area here, Washington, D.C. area, and is from Washington, D.C. He's now based in New York, I believe, and has been putting out music for a long time. A bunch of albums over the years, all the way back from 2008 to now. Mixtapes, EPs, singles, has been prolific, but has obviously stayed underground for the most part. A lot of his work hasn't really hit the mainstream as much, but this is also his first album in 3 years since 2020. This is a really solid record, and I'm going to say that a lot today. I'm sure you're going to get tired of it, but this, when it comes to hip hop records, and we got a couple to cover on this episode. I like to see what journey the artist takes us on the album. It doesn't have to necessarily be the most revolutionary production or the most complex rhymes, but I do want to see some sort of connective tissue for the record. I want it to make sense. And I think for this Odyssey album, there's a lot of themes that were very endearing and interesting to hear about. A lot of self-reflection, a lot of examination of where he is in the rap game and in the culture and all these different things. And so I think Odyssey did cover some great things here. Again, really enjoyable. My favorite tracks, How Far and More to Go. Dreaming about the future and kind of seeing where am I now and where am I going to be. Not one of the, hey, this is an album of the year candidate or anything like that. Critics gave it a 7. I went 6.8, but enjoyable, especially if you want to hear a rapper that maybe you haven't heard of or heard before who has tremendous flow, solid production. It's just a solid rap record. So you can definitely enjoy listening to this one. So Odyssey, To What End. So we've done 5 so far. Let's keep going. We'll hit up now the Murder Capital, the album GG's Recovery that dropped on the 20th. It's a 12-track post-punk alternative record. This is the second studio album from Irish post-punk band, and this is off Human Season record. So they're based in Dublin. They were formed in 2018. This is their second, as I mentioned, this is their second studio album on the label Human Season. Their first record peaked at 18 on the UK charts. This record has peaked so far at 16 on the UK charts. It is not really crossed over here to the US, so it's not charting here at all. But there is, when it comes to post-punk or art-punk bands, there's quite a lot to love coming out of the UK over the years. Bands like Idols, Fontaines DC, there's a lot of really solid bands. And I would say this group is in the mix there. There's a very specific sound to post-punk that if you haven't listened to it before or you don't enjoy it, like, I get it. It's kind of different. It's kind of avant-garde. The vocals are not super polished. They don't sing in a very like mainstream poppy way. It's different, and that's okay. And there's some solid tracks here. Return My Head was my favorite off this album. I think it's worth listening to for sure because it is an experience, especially listening to the first time. This is not necessarily the music that I primarily are drawn to. So this isn't really one that, hey, I'm going back to this record all the time. But plenty of people do like post-punk music. And out of the post-punk music realm, this is a solid record. And people like this a lot. The critics gave this an 8.3, which is kind of wild to me. I gave it 6.8. It's similar to Odyssey and Sam Smith. And these are albums that are right there. They're not quite in the sevens. They're not quite a, I'm going to be bumping it all the time, but they also were not, it wasn't a miserable experience at all. So the Murder Capital, GG's Recovery. This next one here was actually the first album I listened to this year because it was released on January 1st, and that's Richmond rapper Monday Night, who put out an EP with Three-Way Slim, and the EP is called Good Company. It is a 7-track EP, and this is another one where a lot to like here. Shine and Evangelist are both tremendous tracks. They're on my favorite songs of the year right now. The rest of the EP, a little lackluster, a little just, you wanted a little bit more from it, but there's a lot of potential here. And I don't know the exact age of Monday Night, but it seems like obviously he's still a little underground. 33,000 Spotify monthly listeners, so he's got a following, obviously, and he's been seems to have been putting out good music. And so this is a fun one, especially I'm from Virginia. I enjoyed listening to local music, and this is a solid EP. It doesn't take you very long to listen to. Again, 7 tracks. The only critic rating I have on this one that I found was 7.2. I went 6.9. Right there. It's right there. It is an EP, so it's hard to give it a much higher rating, but I feel like if he had turned this into maybe a 10 or 12 track album and worked in a couple strong tracks in the mix, I think this could have pushed it into 7 territory, but that's totally okay. It's just an EP. Solid effort there. Next up, Circa Waves and the album Never Going Under that dropped on January 13th. 11 tracks, indie rock album. This is the 5th studio album from the Liverpool, England band. This is on Lower Third Records. They've put out music since 2015 in the full-length realm, and they've also have 3 EPs. Their highest charting album was actually their 2020 record, Sad Happy, that charted at number 4 on UK charts. Never Going Under, this album peaked at 15. It's actually their lowest peak of their 5 albums that they put out so far. But, I mean, the charting really matters. Anyone actually care about that? Probably not. So this album, I would say, if you enjoy bands like The Strokes or any sort of indie rock bands that are just, it's filled with a bunch of fun, catchy choruses and hooks, and it's not overly complicated. You just want to listen, and it makes you move a little bit, and you have fun with it. That's what the Circa Waves album was to me. It's a ton of songs that could all be singles, really. It's where a lot of them just have big booming choruses that are catchy, and you have fun with it. Never Going Under and Do You Want to Talk were two of my favorite on the album, but it's just fun. It's just a fun record. Critics gave it a 7.8. I went 7.1. I enjoyed this a lot. It's the reason why it does not get a higher grade for me is because of the things I'm talking about, where it's hard for me to go super high on a record that's as simplistic as this is, really. I mean, it's very like, hey, you know, here's another catchy hook, and there's nothing wrong with it. It's obviously great music, but I can't necessarily, in my rating scale, give you much higher than this. But 7.1 from me, 7.8 from the critics. That's I feel like being in the 7 realm shows that, hey, this was a good album. I enjoyed it. Let's see, how many have we covered so far? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Number 9 on our list, Julia Wolf. Good Thing We Stayed, dropped on January 13th. This is a 10-track alt pop album. Julia was born and raised in New York. I believe this is her first debut full-length album. There's a lot of kind of lore to this one where it was like she had been doing music for a bit, and then she was going to give up, and her dad convinced her, like, hey, let's just give it one more go, and she it turned into this opportunity here. I think that was the story. I may be wrong there, but this I will fully admit, this album is not written for me. Like, I'm not a teenage girl. So, like, I'm not, if you can't tell. So I fully can listen to this and understand that some of the messages and stories and things like that are not going to really connect with me at my current state. But I can step back and I can examine the album with kind of a third-party eye, if you will, or ear, if you will, and just look at it for what it is. And my point in saying that is a lot of these tracks are clearly written for a younger audience than myself, and a lot of the lyricism and storytelling revolves around a lot of young love and relationships and heartbreak and kind of where people's lives are at that time. And so I just want to point that out, that I understand that this is not really written for me. But it was fun. It's a fun album. Rookie of the Year and Now were my favorite tracks on it. I think Julio has a tremendous voice. The pop elements here, the production is really, really solid. You can see a lot of potential here, especially with this just being her debut. It's a crowded space in the female pop, alt-pop world, but if you can really bring your truth and your experience into the music, then that can really help you stand out. And I feel like Julia did a nice job here. Critics gave this an 8. I went 7-1. It was fun. It's a fun album. Number 10 on the list, Junie Harbell and her album Carvings that dropped on January 13th. It's an 8-track folk record. I said this on my 1-minute review that she's Norwegian. She lives in a schoolhouse turned house, I guess, and recorded this album with family members, her husband and brother and dad, I think, was involved in this. And so it was a family effort. She's obviously very far away from here and kind of isolated and has really turned out a great album. And this is the second studio album for the Norwegian folk singer. And there is songs about loss here. There are very kind of slow, relaxing ballads. My favorite track was one of the more upbeat tracks called Little Twirl. There's also a great song in there called Chicory. And yeah, if you just want to listen to a soothing, finger-picking record, this is a great one to choose because it's relaxing, it's not overly complicated or long, it's only 8 tracks, but she really pulls you in. She's got a storytelling voice, it's a soothing album, there's a mix of instruments in the background, like glockenspiel and things like that. So critics gave that a 7-2. I went 7-2 also. So actually, me and the critics think alike there, which doesn't happen too often. But it's definitely something that is, you want to be in the right mood and vibe to listen to it, in my eyes. That's how it was for me, where I really enjoyed listening to it when things were calm and maybe it's raining outside and you just want to close your eyes and listen to the acoustic guitar. And that's where this record can really come into play. We are halfway through today's episode. So this is where I want to stop and remind you to follow the show on Instagram, the_musicrabbithole. And then, subscribe to the YouTube if you'd like. I have experienced a week of views and things like that I'll get to when I get to the Little Yachty record later on. But right now we currently are at 3,552 total subscribers to the YouTube channel. Thank you for those who decide to do that. Thank you for commenting or liking or even if you don't like the video. I mean, you're providing input. Sometimes the comments are kind of like, all right, man, whatever. But hey, at least you watched it. And if you want to share your opinion, that's totally fine. Because guess what? All these music thoughts are just my opinion. And you can disagree. It doesn't really matter. It's art. So it's all up to interpretation, that's for sure. And so, please, for the podcast side of things as well, if you want to subscribe to that, that is appreciated too. All right, let's get into the back half of the list here, the upper half, really, of the list. We will head into Billie Nomates and her album Cacti that dropped on the 13th of January, 12-track, another post-punk alternative-type record, second full-length release for Billie. And she is a British songwriter and musician, lives in Bristol. She has been in... Her kind of origin story is she was in a bunch of bands that just never really made it big, and she finally just decided to make her own music and kind of go out on her own, and has been successful at this point. I mean, her debut came out in 2020, and then this record, 2023. People really have enjoyed this album. This is something that has, I feel like, caught a lot of attention. I don't have the charting numbers in front of me, but just from my feedback of seeing people's reviews and kind of what I'm seeing in the scene, and that people really, really think this is a tremendous record and a lot of Billie Nomates fans for sure. So this is another one where, similar to what I said about the Murder Capital, is if you aren't super familiar with post-punk, then you just got to kind of go in understanding that this isn't going to be a bunch of silky smooth pop music. It's going to be different. It's going to sometimes her vocals are not going to be perfect, or the music isn't going to make absolute sense at times, and so it goes in a lot of different directions. The one track that does have some pop appeal is one of the singles, Blue Bones, and I also enjoy the song Same Gun, and this is good. The critics gave this an 8.5. I went 7.2. It's not the music that I particularly listen to or enjoy, but this was a fun record. And Billie Nomates definitely has a really cool story, a lot of momentum here now, and so I'm excited to see where she ends up. All right, next on our list, I believe number 10 or 11, 12, whatever it is, whatever we're at now, Samia and her album Honey, that came out on the 27th, 11-track indie pop record. This is the second studio album from Nashville-based indie pop rocker. I believe she was New York-born and now lives in Nashville. And this, I did a one-minute review on this album. Samia is another really exciting pop, alt-pop artist to watch. Her debut album, The Baby, came out in 2020. It got some really good reception. I think Pitchfork gave it a 7.4 or something along those lines. Maybe it was even 7.8. It was a really good score. And her EPs have done well, too. And so a lot to like with Samia. This latest record is a really fascinating record. It's called Honey. I might have said that, may not have. And this is another one where, similar to Julia Wolf, this is definitely the storytelling is not necessarily written for an old white guy like me. So I do recognize that, but I really was intrigued by her storytelling. I think there's stories of toxic relationships and traumatic experiences and religion. There's so many different paths that you go down on this. The vibe is mostly sad, I would say, but there is some uplifting moments as well, like on the single Honey. That was one of my favorite tracks off the record. The production is super intriguing. There are interspliced clips of her grandmother leaving a voicemail and a guy, a non-native speaker, reading a list of words. And there's some chances taken on the production end as well. It's not a boring album by any means. And I think Samia did a great job with this. I think obviously the production side is great too. The critics gave this an 8. I went 7.3. Mad at Me is another one that I like off this album. there is, I said it in the review that she's got the storytelling of a Phoebe Bridgers, and I'm not saying, oh, she's as good as Phoebe Bridgers or vice versa or whatever. I'm just saying that it reminded me of the honesty that Phoebe Bridgers shows in her storytelling and writing. And it also has an Olivia Rodrigo type vibe to the pop angst that's displayed in this. I mean, there's a song here that where she's just, it ends with her just screaming no, because that's part of the chorus. And that there's some moments there that you really kind of like, whoa, this is, you know, obviously a very emotional and cathartic experience for Sammy on this. And so that just reminded me a little bit of Olivia Rodrigo at times. But I'm not trying to say that one is just like the other or anything like that. Next up on our list, Margot Price and the album Strays. It came out January 13th. This is a 10-track country rock album, one of our only country influence albums on this list here. This is the fourth studio album from Five Star Studio. This was produced by not only Price, but Jonathan Wilson and Mike Campbell. Campbell's from Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. There was a memoir that was put out by Price in October 2022. So it's all kind of been a ride of here's the album, here's the memoir, kind of putting it all out together. Price has been putting out full-length albums since 2016. She's got four of them so far. And I think she falls into that, and I'm not, you know, overly familiar with the country realm, but my understanding is that she bridges that gap a bit between rock and country and is a refreshing voice in that genre. There is, I think sometimes people, just disregard country as a whole because it's kind of like, all right, every song is the same or they all sound the same. And I think with Margot Price, this is a great example of country roots with some Americana and some rock influence. And if you have want to dabble into that world, this is a great record for you to do so. Light Me Up was my favorite track off this. Critics gave this an 8.4. I went 7.4 on Margot Price, Strays. Next up, The Arcs and the album Electrophonic Chronic. The Arcs, if you don't know, is Dan Auerbach, who is the guitarist and main vocalist of the Black Keys. This is his side project. He has released now two albums on this side project. The first one, Yours Dreamily, came out like 8 years ago, 2015. It peaked at 27 on the U.S. charts. So it's always fun when artists do have like these side projects where they get together with other musicians and produce music that isn't the exact same as their main bag, their main project. And this is an example of that, where this is under Auerbach's label, and this is obviously influenced by kind of a Black Keys type sound, because a Black Keys sound is Auerbach's sound. This record has some psychedelic influence at times. It's got that garage rock raw sound to it. There's some soul, there's some rhythm and blues. This is a lot of fun. This is a fun record. I enjoyed listening to it. This is for those like heavier garage rock fans, this is a good album for that. My favorite track off this, Heaven Is a Place. Critics gave it an 8. I went 7.5 for The Arcs. We've got 6 left to go, people. My 6th favorite album of January, Gaz Coombs, Turn the Car Around, came out January 13th. It's a 9-track indie rock album. This is the 4th studio album from Gaz, who is the former frontman of the band Supergrass. This is a self-released independent record from Gaz Coombs. He's done the stuff that he's done with Supergrass, but he's also over the years dropped these independent projects. The first one being back in 2012 with Here Come the Bombs, then Matador in 2015, World's Strongest Man in 2018, which peaked at 12 on the UK charts. And then this latest record that peaked at 6, Turn the Car Around. I enjoyed this one a lot. I think there is some obviously indie rock type realm. So it's, if you enjoy indie rock like I do, this is the type of music that I enjoy. There's some really solid tracks off this. My favorites were Don't Say It's Over and Long Live the Strange. Not much more to say on this, honestly. It's been a while since I've listened to it. It was earlier this month, but I liked it enough that I bought it on vinyl because I knew that I was like, this is a great album. So Gaz Coombs, if you like rock music, like indie rock music, and you have never heard of Gaz Coombs, go listen to this album. Number five, top five on my list, my fifth favorite is King Tough and the record Small Town Stardust that came out January. Oh, did I say the rating for Gaz Coombs? Critics gave that a 8.3. I went 7.5. All right, King Tough, Small Town Stardust. This is an 11-track psych folk record. King Tough is the lead guitarist of, or was the lead guitarist of stoner rock band Witch, and he is a member of Ty Siegel's backing band. And I believe I rated Ty Siegel's album that came out last year, so you have heard some of King Tough or Kyle Thomas's musicianship on that. So this is he's released a lot of music over the years here as King Tough. I think this is the sixth studio album. Music has been coming out from him since 2006. The big thing with this one is it is a switch up from, he's another guy who's a lot of kind of dirtier garage rock type sounds in the music that he's put out in the past, and this is a psych folk record. So definitely a switch there. It's really, really enjoyable. There's some awesome songs on this one. Small Town Stardust, the main title track, is great. Tell Me was great. The critics gave this an 8.3. I went 7.7. Folk music with obviously some rock influence on it, some psychedelic aspects to it. This was a lot of fun for an artist that I really didn't know a whole lot about in Kyle Thomas and King Tough. So this is definitely worth your time. This is my fifth favorite album of the year. Now we're in the top four. Rosie Plain, the album Prize that came out January 13th. 10-track art pop, soft pop record. This is on the Memphis Industries label. Sixth studio album, London-based musician from Winchester, England. She's toured with KT Tunstall. She's performed at a bunch of festivals. This is she's been putting out great music for a long time now. Still has been relatively underground. I mean, she's more known probably in the UK than here. And this she would definitely also be in that indie pop, quiet pop type realm. This is art pop, soft pop. That's kind of these are all kind of buzzwords. But yeah, it's softer music. Great vocalist. This album, and the reason why I have it rated so high is the critics gave this one a 7.8, and I also gave it a 7.8. My favorite tracks, Complicated and Sore, was there is something to the texture of the production, obviously mixed with her vocal ability and her lyrics, that it just works. It just works so, so well. Some people may, with it being in the high sevens, obviously it's not like this is like, hey, this is an album of the year or anything, but there's a lot to like here with Rosie Plain. And I hadn't heard a ton of her stuff before this, but now she's been prolific over the years. It's again that soft pop realm, so you're not going to get a bunch of big bangers, but you're going to have fun with this if you just want to relax and enjoy a great vocalist, some honest lyricism, etc. We are in the top three now. By the way, the reason why I'm not playing clips of the songs throughout this episode is because then this whole episode might get taken down on YouTube. So, because it could get claimed by some of these artists. And so I want you to go find them through the playlist I'll put up in the description and go listen to these albums. Top three time. Here we go. What Is Your Name is the artist. Beyond Old Names, Everyone's Song is the album. It is a 12-track emo, instrumental emo album that came out on the 22nd. And I'll be honest, I know nothing about them. There's not a lot on the internet about this artist. Some people were saying it's the side project of this person that puts out electronic pop music or something along those lines. I think they had one other album that you can go listen to. So this was, I mean, we're talking underground. This is underground. What Is Your Name is the artist. And for some reason, this record has such a hold on me. It is in that instrumental emo realm where it's a lot of noise and obviously instrumentals and all of that. There's something about it. It's hard to explain here, and I want you to be intrigued and be like, what is he talking about? Because I want you to go listen to it on your own. It may not be for everybody. Like, the critics didn't even rate this. I gave it an 8. It was my first 8 of the year. They're my favorite tracks on this, Bones and We Met a Long, Long Time Ago. And it's just instrumental music can kind of be hit or miss. I mean, sometimes it's more about like soundscape. Sometimes it's more about synths. This is just, there's just raw emotion somehow put out in this instrumental form. It makes you think about yourself and your life. And there's something about it. That's all I can really say. Something about it. Again, an 8 from me. Top 2 of January. Number 2 on the list. Joseph and the album Permanent Damage that dropped on January 13th. 13-track indie pop R&B debut album from the Scottish singer Joseph. And loved this. I've probably listened to this record maybe 30 times this month. It is that good. If you like Harry Styles, obviously there's some crossover similarities here in some of the songs. But I think Joseph just has a vibe of his own that is really unbelievable. There's so much vulnerability in this album, but the production is really top notch. There's just so much to love about this. It's hard to explain on this one too. There's just something about this record. A couple of my favorites were It's Been a Little Heavy Lately and East End Coast. But for this to be just the debut from Joseph, I honestly feel like we are going to be hearing a lot from this artist here in the future. Because this as your debut, and this is another one I definitely bought on vinyl because I was like, I need to have this. For this to be your debut album is so, so impressive. Critics gave it a 7.9. I went 8.1. It may end up being in my top 10 of the year when all things are said and done. But right now it's top 2 of January. Joseph, Permanent Damage. Do yourself a favor. Throw it on. Just throw it on. See what you think yourself. We've done 19 albums. I know it's a long episode, but I hope I sent you down a few different rabbit holes of your own. We will end today's episode with Little Yachty. Let's start here. The album that came out on the 27th, 14 tracks. This album has obviously been covered heavily in the music world. It kind of turned the music world on its head in a way. I mean, you see it. Anyone that just puts up a video talking about this album now will get like 50,000 views. It's crazy. I did a 1-minute album review the day that this album dropped, and that video right now is at definitely over 10,000 views. I think it's like, and this isn't a brag, by the way. I'm just like giving you an example of like how crazy things are with this. It is, it's over 10,000 views now. And it was just blowing up that day, which was a crazy experience for me. Because for those who follow this show and the channel, look, like I'm not some major YouTube influencer or anything like that. I just like putting out these videos and talking about music and hopefully giving you some new music to listen to. And most of my videos, they do okay. They do fine, as you've seen. There's a nice audience, but the reception and the feedback on this video in particular was nuts. And people, you know that you've like tapped into something when people are having arguments with other people on your video and has like nothing to do with you. So this, the views on this have almost hit 11,000 now. There's 719 likes, 21 dislikes, like 34 comments, mixture of people mad at me and some people saying like I'm crazy for my thoughts on this. And it's been wild, and I just wanted to share that this, it's crazy. Every now and then you get something out there on the internet that just taps into something, and this album is internet fodder for sure. So for those who don't know, if you're just not familiar with this, Lil Yachty is a rapper from Georgia that has that really kind of started his legacy with his Lil Boat album. But he's kind of been in the scene now since around 2015. He's known for his positive attitude, his colorful hair. He's done voice roles in movies. He's done, I mean, he's collaborated with a lot of tremendous artists in the industry as well. But the one thing is Lil Yachty's music, and he's got a great diehard fan base. And so if you love Lil Yachty's music, all power to you. And I've enjoyed some of Lil Yachty's music. But then there's also been some lackluster efforts as well over the years. And he did get a mumble rap moniker at times. And that's one thing people picked on in my review is they were like, don't call him a mumble rapper. It's like, okay, well, he has mumble rapped. So he technically is a mumble rapper, but he also does more things. So I understand that as well. This album, and I went in not knowing anything about it, blew my mind. This was his fifth studio album. And it's we have seen rappers trend into other genres over the years. Lil Wayne did a rock album, Logic, Kid Cudi, Kanye obviously at times will cover other genres. You've got, so it's been done. I mean, heck, Jay-Z did a thing with Linkin Park back in the day. It's not unusual for a rapper to produce something different. Playboi Carti last year. So it happens. But it has to be done well. And obviously we've got plenty of examples of it not going well. And so Lil Yachty took a chance here and could have easily failed. And some people even are saying they don't like it. And that's okay. It's your opinion. But I think this worked. This worked for me. It is a funk, rock, pop, psychedelic experience. There are songs here that Lil Yachty is kind of rapping on, if you, in a way. There's a lot of songs where he's not. There's some tremendous vocalist features and all these different things, and it is an experience. It's something that you have to experience, honestly. That is my opinion. Is you may not love it. You may go, oh, I don't know about this. But for me personally, this album grew on me right off the bat, right through the first few listens. My favorite tracks, Drive Me Crazy, I've Officially Lost Vision, Should I Be. There are guitar breakdowns. There are solos. There's a Pink Floyd influence. There's the production credits on this are crazy. I mean, like Tame Impala sounds and Mac DeMarco, I think, helped. I mean, there's so many different influences on this record, and it's felt. And I think for me, when it doesn't work, it's when it doesn't feel honest and true to what the artist's vision was. And this does feel, to me, this felt like Yachty, this is what Yachty wanted. This is the type of album that Yachty set out to make, and he did that. And it's 14 tracks. Critics have, so far, the average is around a 7. I went 8.4. This is my favorite album from January. This is such a fun experience. The critics of this seem to be like, this doesn't, it's all just a bunch of noise, or there's no, or the songs sound the same, which I don't know how you can even say that. The songs definitely don't all sound the same. They're kind of wildly different at times. There are some weak moments here. Look, like Yachty's obviously not a perfect vocalist, and that is sometimes felt on some of these tracks, but I think that's part of the charm of it as well. So while those three were my favorite tracks, I really like this album as a whole. As a whole work, it works. It works for me. I know Pitchfork didn't love it. They gave it something in the 6s, which, screw them. They're stupid. I think the people that don't like it are like diehard hip-hop fans, because they're like, hey, he ventured away, and sometimes that's okay, but I don't think they like how far he ventured from the hip-hop realm. That's just my opinion. I think that's why they hate it. If you like all types of music, and you've heard some of the psych rock bands of the past, and you've heard, and you're into like MGMT and Tame Impala and those types of bands, like, I feel like you would listen to this and go, holy crap, like, this is such an incredible combination of all these influences with still some trap roots as well. So this works for me. 8.4, favorite album of the year so far. Definitely of January. Lil Yachty, let's start here. 20 albums. 20 albums rated, reviewed, and sorted. Hope I have sent you down, as I mentioned. The whole point of this is just to kind of give you a starting point to maybe go explore some of these artists on your own now. Go listen to these albums. I'll put all the links in the description of the video. I'll include my link to my favorite songs of 2023, my favorite albums of 2023, all that good stuff. And hope you've enjoyed this. I know it's a long one, but if you are a music fan, I feel like this is definitely for you. Continue to subscribe, like, comment on the YouTube video, and then subscribe and rate and review the podcast version as well. We'll be back next week with your regular scheduled programming. That's the way this is going to work. I think throughout the month, I'm going to release on Fridays my five bands, artists similar to the big band, you know, whatever it is. Like last week was M83. And then during the week, I release my shorts, the one-minute album reviews. And then I think at the end of every month, I'll be doing these month-long recaps, these longer episodes for you to, for any albums you might have missed along the way. So my top five, Lil Yachty, Joseph, What Is Your Name, Rozzy Plane, and King Tuff. Those are my top five of January. We'll see where we are in February. Some big music comes out in March and April and things like that. I'll see you next time. This has been another episode of The Music Rabbit Hole.